Let's pray together. Lord, we do look to you. We fix our eyes upon you as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters. Lord, we know that you have a call for us, but it comes not out of it comes not from a taskmaster, it comes not from a slave owner, it comes from a father who loves us. So we pray for grace today to hear your call. We pray for your Holy Spirit to speak through your word and do your work in us. May we receive it with humility and joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are named and declared about who we are in 2 Corinthians 5, which was our reading a couple weeks ago, if you remember. But in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul claims that we are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. And because of that, therefore, because we've been made new, God then sends us out into the world. He calls us his ambassadors, his representatives in this world, as God makes his appeal to the world through us. God says, this is who you are. Not work really hard and get really smart, get really articulate, then you'll be my ambassadors. He says, no, if you are a new creation in Christ, you are a representative of Jesus Christ in this world. And Jesus said the same thing when he commissioned us at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, go into all nations, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He commissions us to go out into the world. So, I think the Lord this morning, speaking to me, speaking to all of us, would break us out of our comfort zone, would break us out of the mold we have fashioned for ourselves, where the gospel is just for us and our comfort and our assurance and our salvation. It is for those things. But God sends us out into the world. We are saved in order to be sent. We've received the good news of saving grace through Christ. Now we are commissioned to bring this good news to the world, to become what we are, as God calls us. So today I want to look at another one of these commissionings that's given to the prophet Ezekiel that is not directly to us. It's not Jesus saying to us, but Ezekiel receives a call from God that is illustrative for us. And just in the same way that God called Ezekiel those thousands of years ago, he calls us today. So, and I want to, just as an aside, from the get-go here, as God calls us into evangelism and mission out into the world, I am preaching this not as an expert, not as someone who has excelled at this in my own life. I felt a lot of conviction this week that the Lord was preaching this to me first, and I'm receiving it alongside of all of us. But I want to look at Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel's call. This call to evangelism that we read in the prophet has three main components. The first is an encounter with God. The second, a feasting on the word of God. And thirdly, knowing what we're getting into. So, the call to evangelism starts with an encounter with the glory of God. And if you have your Bibles open with you to Ezekiel 2, which I would recommend, you're going to find that Ezekiel 2 follows right after Ezekiel 1. Isn't that amazing? Where Ezekiel has just had this incredible vision of the glory of God, indescribably strange, that artists have tried to depict over the years, and it's hard for us to wrap our heads around what it is Ezekiel saw. There are four living creatures. There are wheels within wheels and eyes all around, and the Lord sitting on his throne over the expanse that covers all of it. So the glory of the Lord was indescribable for Ezekiel. And it was powerful, overwhelming for him. Chapter 1, verse 28, right before our passage says that he fell on his face in the presence of the glory of God. Fell on his face to worship, and probably also just by sheer overload at the sight of the overwhelming glory. And our passage in chapter 2 begins with God calling him to stand up. He had fallen on his face, encountering the glory of the Lord, and God says, "Stand, O Son of Man." And then the Holy Spirit comes into Ezekiel and makes him stand. The Holy Spirit fills Ezekiel and causes him to do what the Father has commanded him to do. So that's just the first point for us to not skip over too quickly. What God calls us to, the Spirit empowers us for. The Holy Spirit is within us to stir us to obedience to God, to stir us to holiness and the life that He's called us to as He sends us out to the world. The Spirit empowers us. So just like Ezekiel, we are filled with the Holy Spirit in order to hear the voice of the Lord and to move our feet in the direction of the world that He sends us into. So this encounter with the glory of God, this infilling with the Spirit, is the first step of evangelism. It starts with us and our encounter with God, because the glory of God, the Spirit of God, transforms us and changes us. Here is where we become a new creation. Here is where we are renewed and transformed in His glory as we're filled with the Spirit. So God is not sending us out into the world unequipped and unempowered. He does not send us out into the world without Himself. His Holy Spirit that fills us, empowers us, drives us into the world that God sends us into. So, important thing I don't want to bypass too quickly for us. When we talk about us going out into the world, in evangelism and mission, it starts here. It starts with meeting the Lord in His glory here. When we come to worship, when we receive all that God has to minister to us through word and sacrament, when we encounter Him in our daily prayer times, we're filled up so that we can be poured out for the sake of the world. Have you encountered the glory of God? Have you been filled with His Spirit? If that's not something you've experienced for yourself, then likely your evangelistic efforts are not going to bear much fruit. We are the ones who have tasted and seen of His goodness, and so we want to share that with the world. Have you been changed by the glory of God? And you want to enter into the world on His terms, not yours, not on the world's terms, but with the overwhelming reality of the God who made us, who redeemed us, and who sends us. So evangelism always begins with worship. It always begins with an encounter with God. The second thing that the call to evangelism requires of us is feasting on the Word of God. The gospel that He gives to us. In verse 9, the Lord stretched forth His hand and held out to Ezekiel a scroll that was written on the front and the back. That just means it was really full. There was no empty space left on the scroll. On it were written words of lamentation and mourning and woe. God says, "Eat this. Whatever you find here, eat this scroll, Ezekiel." And we remember in John, in Revelation, had a very similar experience that echoes this. Eating the scroll of the Word of God. The repetition of that imagery, and this is imagery, it's not literal, but it's a vision communicating a deep truth about how God gives us His Word for us to consume, for us to feast upon, for us to make a part of ourselves. So God says, whatever you find here, eat this. Consume it. Make it a part of yourself. And even when it's words of mourning and lamentation and woe, somehow this still tastes sweet in Ezekiel's mouth. An odd combination of images for us, right? Mourning and lamentation and woe often sound and feel bitter to us, harsh to us. But we think about what those words represent. That God is calling a rebellious world back to himself. He's saying, you have rebelled against me, Israel. You have walked away from me. He speaks to the world. And he's calling them back to himself. So it's his lamentation, his warnings of woe, his call to repentance that comes out of his love for this world. God does not lament over this world or call this world to repentance because he hates the world. No, God so loves the world that he sent his only son, that he gives his word, that he calls all of us to repentance because he loves us, because he loves the world. Even the rebukes of the Lord are sweet. Even the woes and warnings of the Lord are sweeter than anything the world has to offer. The rebuke of the Lord is sweeter than all the affirmations of the world because God loves us and wants the best for us. So when we consume the word and go out into the world, often that's going to mean we call the world to repentance. And calling someone to repentance is often the most loving thing you can possibly do for them. Affirming them in their sin is not love. We call to repentance because that's God's call to the world. And he gives it to us to communicate to the world because he loves the world. And we are to love the world by calling them to salvation through repentance from sin. So this is the message that Ezekiel is called to bring to Israel. He ingests it. He consumes it. It's sweet in his mouth. And it becomes part of him as he is sent. I was reminded of our famous Anglican collect, which prays, "Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the holy scriptures, that we might embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life." So we too are called to inwardly digest the Word of God, to read it, to hear it, to study it, to consume it, to meditate on it, so that it becomes part of us, that we might truly hold fast to those truths of the gospel that are for us and for the world. And when that message becomes a part of us, when we consume it and it fills us, the good news of the word is for us because it's ours, then we can bring it to the world faithfully. We can communicate it with a deeper passion and a deeper conviction because this is what has happened for us. So, we are to read and know and consume the Word of God in its entirety, all of it, not just the parts that are easy to swallow for the world. We're to consume it, make it a part of us so that it forms our hearts and minds so that we can speak it confidently to the world. So has the message of the gospel become part of you in this way? Have you let the Word of God form you more than the culture has, more than your own flesh and your own experiences have? So this call to evangelism requires that we feast on the Word of God and let it fill us to the brim. Be in the Word of God daily. Daily open your Bibles and let the Word of God form you and shape you and learn from it Bible studies on your own and with others, sermons and teachings. We want to let the Word of God, with its eternal importance, be the highest priority for us to consume, above all other things. Because many of us spend many more hours a week on our screens and on social media and ingesting the news, consuming the news, than we do consuming the Word of God. I'm guilty of that as much as anybody. But what are we consuming? Because what consumes us forms us. And God's calling us to consume the Word of God so that we might taste its sweetness for ourselves as we bring it to the world. The third element of this call that I think God speaks to us is to know what we're being sent into. To know what we're getting ourselves into when God sends us into the world. The Lord tells Ezekiel, I'm sending you to Israel, and they're going to reject you. They're going to resist you. This is a rebellious nation, God says. They are impudent and stubborn. And God is gracious enough to tell Ezekiel in advance, here's what's going to happen. Here's exactly how this is going to go, and I want you to do it anyways. To go in with eyes wide open as we are sent into the world, knowing that we're going to face resistance, and that's okay. It's not going to be fun, necessarily. But far from a reason to not go into the world, God then equips us to stand firm in the midst of resistance. He equips us by His Spirit, by His Word, to still go and proclaim the Word in faithfulness, even when we encounter resistance. Knowing that Ezekiel was rejected, even Jesus was rejected, we read in our gospel lesson. That He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. If Jesus was rejected, so will we. God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their words. Don't be dismayed by their looks, He says in verse 6. For they are a rebellious house. They're in rebellion. So yeah, they're going to rebel against God's word. That's what they do. But God is calling them back to Himself, out of that rebellion. So be aware that they're in rebellion, they're going to respond in this way. That's a given. But God says, even in the midst of that, to Ezekiel in verse 8, do not become like them. Don't be rebellious like them, but be set apart. Be distinct from the world. Be that salt and light in this bland and dark world. Be separate from the world, even as the Lord sends us into the world. Because as Jesus prayed for us in John 17, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. That's what God's call to Ezekiel is to us. Do not be rebellious like them. Be different. Be strange in the eyes of the world. Be holy. Do not be given to rebellion against God. And this is when the Lord feeds Ezekiel the word. The word that forms us, that forms him. Do not be conformed to the world. Do not be in rebellion like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds through the word of God. So God sends Ezekiel to Israel and says, they're going to reject you. But go anyways. Speak the word of God to them regardless of their response. And we can do this when we're filled with the Spirit, when we have feasted on the word of God, because we stand in confidence knowing who we are, knowing whose we are. Do you have the confidence in your own heart and life for this? And this is often the hardest step. This is often what keeps us from evangelism, isn't it? How will people think of me? What if they don't like it? What if this ends a friendship? This is so often the hardest hurdle for us to get over in evangelism. And I want to encourage all of us to ask the Lord for a deeper confidence, for a deeper assurance, for a deeper rooting in His Spirit and in His Word, that we might go anyways that we might speak anyways, trusting the results to Him. So this call to evangelism is going to require us being confident in the Lord, knowing that the world will probably reject us at times. Because being filled with the Word, feasting on and being formed by the Word of God, teaches us not to fear man, but to trust in God. We learn to not rely upon people's judgments, not to be motivated by how they will look at us, but to be mindful, first and foremost, about how God looks at us. Because in Christ, we are a new creation. Because we have seen the glory of the Lord, and we have been filled with His Spirit and formed by His Word, then we can be free to simply obey God in this, even if it might come at a personal cost. Because we have tasted and seen and know that the Lord is good. We know that Jesus is better than the approval of the world. We have tasted and seen and experienced the satisfaction that comes from the presence of God, and nothing, knowing that nothing can compare to that. No approval of the world, no affirmations of the culture can compare to that. And we go into the world, we speak the truth of the gospel, knowing that the Lord does not call us to success, but to faithfulness. The Lord does not call us to be successful in every single thing that we do. He calls us to be faithful in every single thing that we do. We let Him worry about the fruit while we focus on our obedience. And anytime there is a success, all the glory goes to Him anyways, right? It's not as a result of your skill or eloquence or wisdom that people's hearts will turn to Jesus. It's the Spirit stirring in them. It's the Word of God doing the work of God in them. It's not because of you that your success comes. And so it's not because of you when failure comes either. When we fail or when we don't have success in evangelism, it's not on you. It's not a reflection of your character. It's not a reflection of your skill or eloquence. There's no such thing as failure in evangelism, only not doing evangelism. We leave the fruit to God. We trust in Him for the results. And we are faithful to what God has called us to. I was very encouraged a week and a half ago at our provincial assembly. And getting to know our new Archbishop, Steve Wood, as he introduced himself, as he preached to us in the closing Eucharist. I was really called on and really encouraged by him and his missional vision for his diocese and now for the ACNA. And his conviction was that we are saved in order to be sent. That God has called us to Himself in order to send us out. And one of the things he said that really convicted me was how much he loves to spend time with non-Christians. How much he loves to have conversations with non-Christians who don't know Jesus. And I'm thinking about my own life. I have no non-Christian friends. I see very few non-Christians in my day-to-day life. Which, by the way, is why you all are better equipped for evangelism in some ways than I am. I do want to get out and know more non-Christians. I do want to get out and build relationships with people who don't know Jesus. That's something I'm convicted of. But do we love the world enough to speak the gospel to them that saves them? To know that we are saved in order to be sent. And our motivating drive in all of this is that God is with us. Just as he was for Ezekiel, just as he was in Jesus, just as he was for Paul, who said that thorn in his side, God spoke to him, said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." It's true for us as well. That even when we are rejected, even when we are rebuffed, we know that our worth and our value does not depend on the responses of this rebellious world. Our worth and our value is rooted in Christ. Being that new creation, knowing that grace that's sufficient in all things for us. And here's one core lesson I feel like I've had to learn a lot over the last years and relearn and relearn. I want to speak it to you all. That God loves you more than he loves the mission that he calls you into. God loves you more than he loves the mission that he calls you into, because God loves you just as much as he loves this world that he sends you into. And so the Lord is not going to just use you as a utilitarian, like, okay, here's someone I can use and then discard and not care about. You're not just another tool in his toolbox, because you too are the mission of God. You too are the one for whom Christ was sent. This is why God shows you his glory, fills you with his Spirit, and feeds you with his all-satisfying word. What he wants to do, what he has done in you, he wants to do in others. And this is why we need to continually have the gospel preached to us, that we can soak in the grace of God in Christ, to continually be filled with his Spirit, to be refreshed in his presence, so that we can bring that to others. God has saved you, and now he sends you. And he sends you so that others might have what you have. Here at St. Andrews, we say we are here to glorify Jesus Christ as a community of disciples on mission. And every week, we as a community of disciples on mission pray at the end of our service that God is sending us out into the world to do the work he has given us to do, to love and serve him as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. He saves us in order to send us. He fills us here and then sends us out into the mission field. Our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our families, our friendships is the mission field that God sends us out into, because he loves you and he loves this world. We are called by the Father, filled with the Spirit, to proclaim the Son, Jesus Christ. And God is making his appeal to the world through us. And may we be found faithful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.